Let us prepare our hearts and minds as we get ready for our Sunday morning worship. We'll have a music prelude, and please don't forget to shut off your phones. It's happened from time to time. Enjoy our service. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Diane. Good morning. We should all have that smile on our face. Excitement is a wonderful thing. A couple announcements this morning. Excuse me. Once a year, most of us in the congregation get a birthday card. It was pointed out that Melanie Dowler mails those out, and last Friday was Melanie's birthday, so please catch her when she flits around and... Okay. I would expect no less. Please spend a little time looking at the announcements. There are a number of sign-up sheets we're moving into our Lenten series. Well, first of all, obviously at the top of the list is the Week of Compassion, and that is the theme of our service today. There will be offerings taken up today and next week for that in the directory. Every once in a while, the table out there goes empty. Don't worry about that. There'll be more put out there, but please pick up your directory. Look at the times, particularly for the Lent services. We will be an Ash Wednesday service at 6:30 p.m., but there will not be any soup supper that evening. Then for the rest of the services will start at 6. There will be a soup supper at 6:30, and then on Monday, Thursday, there will be no dinner or soup supper, and the service will be at 7:30. A couple of the sign-ups out there are for people to provide soups. We need at least a couple at each service, and so if you would love to present your best homemade soup, that would be gratefully appreciated by the group. And so please look for that sign up. There are sign ups outside of the window there in Kathy's office. There's also sign ups for the prayer vigil. It will be in the sanctuary this year, as it has been the last couple years. The elders will host the prayers, if you will, so that the doors will be closed, it'll be quiet for you, but there will be people coming and going. You can sign up for an hour, a half hour, you can stick your head in for 15 minutes. The prayer vigil is the fastest time that I've ever had elapse in my prayer life is when I participate in a prayer vigil. So please look for that sign up. There's a sign up out along the window for people willing to read scriptures. There are a few openings there. So just kind of wander around and find a sign up sheet, put your name on something. Are there any other sign up sheets that I've missed? That being said, are there any other announcements that somebody needs to bring before us? If not, we'll sing our, please sign up the on the sheet and pass it back and forth on the pew. And we'll take a second to welcome each other, and then we'll sing our opening hymn, number 687, In Christ There Is No East or West. Please join with me in the call to worship. O God of promises, you remind us again and again that you are present with your people.
When our hearts are broken, you are here.
When we wait in worry to hear a diagnosis, you are here.
When we lose the ones we love, you are here.
When anyone is hungry or thirsty, you are here. When people are sick or in prison or need clothing, you are here.
You, O God, are here in the midst of the world's suffering, and we want to be where you are.
Please join me in prayer. Sustaining God, we gather to seek your presence. We know that when we call out to you, you are near. You hold us up when we are falling. You are just in all your ways and kind in all your doings. You have never failed us yet. Our saving God, we gather to proclaim your power, knowing that your words are faithful and your deeds are gracious. We stand in awe of your wondrous works. Still speaking, God, we gather to listen for your voice. Speak to us in scripture, song, and silence. Show us the way to love, not just in word and speech, but in truth and action. Show us where you want to lead us. In that way, your Son taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. Our song of prayer this morning will be hymnal number 497, verses 1 and 2, In Loving Partnership.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see all of you here today. You know, earlier in the week, I was feeling kind of sick. I had a little stomach bug, and I didn't feel very good, and I finally got over it, and I'm so glad. Sometimes when you get sick, you get dehydrated. Your body really, really needs water. You get thirsty. Kind of like if you're ever out hiking, if you go for a walk in the summertime and it's really hot, you get really thirsty. Can you guys think of a time that you were thirsty? Has there ever been a time you've been thirsty? You know what that feels like? Yeah. Maybe you're someplace where you can't get a drink of water, and you just really, really wish that you could have some water. Well, I have something to share with you all today. I have a cup for everybody. We have plenty to go around. Everyone gets a little cup. We're just going to have a drink of water together and give thanks to God for the gift of water. Do you want a cup? Okay. So let me see. There's some water for Colin. And there's some water for Carson. We'll just kind of give everybody a little bit of water. You're welcome. Okay, if you guys are thirsty, you can go ahead and drink your water. What's wrong, Max? Oh, your cup's empty. Oh, sorry. Oh, Madison's cup's empty too. Oh, well, I don't know. You guys go ahead and drink. If you're thirsty, have a drink. Everybody has a cup, so. How's it taste? Nice and cold, refreshing. You guys are looking like maybe something's wrong. Oh, look what the brothers are doing. What a nice thing, someone's sharing. Maybe that's a good idea. Madison, if I give you some water, can you share some with your sister? Okay. We'll make sure that Max gets some water.
It's almost gone.
It's almost gone. We still have lots of water. We have more water than we have cups. That's right. If the ice melts, it'll turn into water.
Ice and sunlight. If sunlight hits ice, it turns into water.
I think you have been doing some scientific study. That is excellent. If sunlight hits ice, it turns into water. How did it feel when you had a cup, but it didn't have any water in it, and everybody else had water? How did that feel?
Nothing.
It felt like nothing?
No.
Did you feel like you were nothing? Did it feel like it, what? You felt left out? You felt left out? How did it feel if you had water and somebody else didn't?
It would feel, it might the other person's feelings because the other person has water and they don't.
So if you have water and someone else doesn't, you might be concerned about how they're feeling. You don't want them to feel left out. You don't want them to be thirsty. It was very nice of you all to share the water that you have with others. Does anybody else need another drink? I have plenty of water if you want another little sip. Okay. Carson still has some in his glass. I filled up his glass really full.
Yeah, it's a lot of water.
You want a little more? You're welcome. Colin, did you get enough? Well, you know, we are really blessed when we have good water to drink when we're thirsty, and we're really blessed when we have enough water that we can share with someone else who doesn't have any. Every Saturday in our sandwich ministry, we share water.
If you get sick, you better drink water or medicine juice.
That's right. If you get sick, you better drink water or medicine juice. You are a very wise young man. Sounds like the voice of experience. You and I were both sick this week, so we know how important it is to drink water. How about we have a closing prayer, and then you all can finish your water, and you can go to Sunday school and worship and wonder. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of water. We pray for people who are thirsty. And Lord, we ask you to help us when we have water to share, that we would do so willingly. And all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming today. That's right. Thank you guys for taking care of your empty cups, too. I think when he grows up, Colin might be a hydrologist. Our prayer concerns are listed on the back of the bulletin. As we highlight a few, I encourage you to read over the names of everyone listed there and hold them in prayer this week. Our card shower this morning is for Matthew Trott, the Meek's grandson. We continue to pray for Matt as he struggles with cancer and is on medical leave. Even if you don't know Matthew, I encourage you to write a prayer card that we'll send to the family just to let him know that we are praying for him and thinking about him. A joy to share. The regional board of the Central Rocky Mountain region unanimously accepted the candidate presented by our search and call committee, and they are pleased to announce that our next regional minister will be the Reverend Joan Bell Haynes. She comes to us from the DC area. As proof of what a small family disciples are, Dewey Smith, who attends chapel and is one of our elders, his brother is a member at the church that Pastor Joan has co-pastored for the past 10 years. So it is a blessing to have her come to the Central Rocky Mountain region. She brings a wealth of experience, a commitment to diversity and ecumenical and interfaith work, and it sounds like she will be an excellent leader for us. She begins her ministry in the Central Rockies in April. Prayers for June Bredemeyer. Her son-in-law passed away suddenly, and it was a shock to the family. Prayers of comfort for all of them. Prayers of safe travel for high school students and families. This is kind of the championship season for winter sports. We've got a lot of school buses on the road, a lot of parents traveling. Simply prayers for safe travel for all of them. There are others on our prayer list who are in treatment for cancer. They include Travis Hytrek. He has been in Denver this past week, did fairly well there, and then had some recurring illness when he was home. He goes back to Denver on Tuesday. Prayers for him. It is a joy to welcome home Gaylene Barnes. She continues to recover from multiple back surgeries. She's been in Utah for quite a while with family, and we're glad she could come back to Casper for a little while. Her son is here with her for about 2 weeks, and we're thankful for his presence with mom and his help. I'd also like to thank Peg Jackson for pitching in with some things that Gaylene has needed assistance with. We're glad you're here, and we pray for your healing. It's also a blessing to welcome home Bryant Badger, our former pastor, retired in Colorado. It's always great to see him when he comes to town for a haircut. So I'm glad you could stay for church on Sunday morning and bring Brianna with you. The missionary we're lifting today is Tony Reynolds, who serves in the Dominican Republic. We continue to pray for those affected by natural disasters and severe storms. California's had a lot of significant flooding this week. Our prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary for you to sign is for the director of Week of Compassion, V. Nguyen. He is the executive director for this ministry of our denomination, which works in partnership with other churches. It is the Refugee Disaster Relief and Response Ministry of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer? Tom. Prayers for Mr. Simmons, who has been in the hospital this week. His son, Jeff Bowles, with Tom.
Yeah, my
we rejoice in that news that your hip is feeling better. Are there others? Virginia. Prayers for Verla Jurdy, a former member of our congregation. She and Dave moved to Cheyenne to be with family a few years ago. She's having eye trouble and may need surgery in March. Prayers for Verla. Debbie. Prayers for a neighbor, Loretta, who is in hospice. and may have about a week before she journeys to heaven. And a joy to share that yesterday 14 volunteers made 15 blankets for the blanket ministry, and then two more were turned in as well. So what a great blessing that is. I'd also encourage you to continue to pray for Marie Robertson, who is at home with health care provided there, but unable to be in worship with us. Are there others? Keith. Thanksgiving of joy for the support of prayer of the church family, especially for the Rouses as they continue to struggle with health and other concerns. We think of you often, and you continue to be in our prayers. It is indeed a blessing for all of us to have a church family, to know that there are others who hold us in prayer. Let us turn now to God in a time of shared silence. O good and great God of compassion, you are here. We come to worship in this place that we may find you. We answer your call to work in the world among the least of these, that we may serve you. In our own lives, in times of need, we turn to you in prayer, O Holy One, giving thanks that you are here. You are present in the midst of suffering and struggle. And so we are made bold to lift to you these many concerns named this day. We pray for Matt Trott as he continues to struggle with cancer. We pray for courage and strength for his family, for shared support. We rejoice at the news of Reverend Joan Bell Haynes coming to serve as regional minister in the Central Rockies. And we pray your blessing this weekend upon youth who are at the midwinter retreat, including Sarah Williams. Oh God, you are present when people are grieving. We ask for your presence with June as she mourns the sudden death of her son-in-law. We pray for her daughter. We pray for a neighbor, Loretta, while she's in hospice, and for Marie Robertson at home. We pray for Jeff, a fellow bowler, and his dad, Mr. Simmons. Lord, we ask you to be present with Verla as she struggles with her eyesight. We pray for health for her eyes, and if surgery is needed, oh God, we pray for healing and full recovery. We thank you for the joy of sharing life together as a church family. We thank you that in the midst of challenging times, Keith and Pam and their daughters have felt the support of prayer for so many others. We thank you for the joy of blankets made and given away. Please bless Tony Reynolds and missionary work being done in the Dominican Republic. Be present with those whose lives are torn apart by storms, whether physical or emotional and mental. Holy God, we ask your blessing upon V. Nguyen and the work of Week of Compassion, done not just for 7 days, but for every day of the year around the world. Lord, give us courage. that when we are thirsty, we know you come and meet our needs. And because we know your love, you call us to give water to those who thirst and bread to those who hunger. Bless your people with generous hearts, that we might be worthy to bear the name of Christ, in whose name we pray and we live. Amen. Sunday school this morning, we were talking about a past era in the life of the church when Sunday was a full day of worship. People would travel many miles, many hours by horseback and wagon to hear a preacher and share in worship. And then there would be lunch on the grounds, a potluck, a dinner at the church. In a way, that tradition continues today. Occasionally, when we have a potluck here, folks bring different dishes. I recall when I was in seminary, one night, several students who lived on campus at Lexington Seminary decided that we would have our own potluck. We were just going to pitch in and share dinner together. It was the middle of the week. Everyone was busy. So everyone agreed on a set time. We were going to meet at the picnic table out in the quad. We each went to our own rooms and came back with a pot of beans. It wasn't planned, but every single one of us that night brought beans to the potluck. There were baked beans and green beans and pinto beans, and I think it was probably evidence that beans fit the budget of graduate students. We all laughed and passed the beans and passed the grace of God. There is a gift, a holy and sacred blessing, when we share food with one another. Whether it is in the Lord's Supper in worship, at a church potluck, or at a community event where those who have food give to those who are hungry, and all are blessed. Let us prepare to share the Lord's Supper together by singing, "God is Here," number 280.
Thank you.
we come to this table, all who long to know God's love in Christ are invited to share the bread and the cup as they are passed. We remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Living and abiding God, we experience your presence when we share the bread and cup at the table today. It is a participation in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate your abundance, we are mindful of those who know little but deprivation and despair. May the world and its needs break constantly into our sanctuaries to disturb our complacency, and constructively send us from our sanctuaries back into the world to witness and serve, inspired by the sacrifice of your Son and empowered by your Spirit. Amen.
In Haiti, there's a saying, after mountains, more mountains, and it's true. After an earthquake, then a hurricane where crops are destroyed, homes swept away, loved ones lost. After mountains, more mountains, but here, among the people of Haiti, it's also true that there is hope. And after hope, more hope. Hope in a community that pools its resources to build a school and to pay teachers a living wage. Hope in a small business co-op where women build a bakery, making bread for their families and for sale in the market. Hope in an agricultural co-op that gave Fort Toulouse a low-interest loan so he could reseed his farm. Instead of struggling to pay off high interest rates, Fort Toulouse is able to focus on planting vegetables for his family and trees that will one day reforest a nation. Your gift to Week of Compassion supports communities across Haiti where people are coming together to be there for one another. So come. Be a part of the movement. Week of Compassion is here, which means you are here. And when you are here, there is hope. And after hope, more hope.
Worship a God who gives generously and abundantly. God gives to all creatures their food in due season, and from God's open hand, the desire of everything is satisfied. God has given us so many blessings, the food we eat, the friends and family that we cherish, the precious gift of God's love for us, a love that led Jesus to lay down his life for us. When that love abides in us, we cannot refuse to help our brothers and sisters in need. Through our regular offerings here at First Christian Church, we reach out in ministry to ourselves and to our community. Through the special offering for Week of Compassion, we join with other Christians to make our presence known to people who might feel the forgotten, feel that they're hungry, the hurting, the thirsty, and the sick. Our gifts together provide food, shelter, comfort, and safety all over the world. Our diaconate will now wait upon us. Thank you. Gracious God, in our offering, we return to you a portion of the blessings you have showered upon us. Bless these gifts that they might bring comfort and food and shelter to those who need it. Bless those who will receive them. Let them know your love through full bellies, warm clothing, and safe places to sleep. Amen. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in.
Can we hear with the ears of justice, hear the clattering sounds beneath pots and pans in kitchens where more than hot meals are stewing for the greedy, for those who prepare the feast are the victims of greed and extortion, themselves hungry and starving for restitution from overstuffed bellies who refuse to share their crumbs.
I needed clothes, and you clothed me.
Can we be moved by justice to clothe the factory worker with fair wages as she mends garments for major brands that profit from her toil?
I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.
Can we escape the stench of injustice, the smell of slavery, forced labor, debt bondage, and slavery-like practices must fill our nostrils just as it chokes the life out of children, women, and men who are deprived of liberty, freedom, and independence?
Then the righteous will answer the Lord, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you stronger and a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?"
Where is love and justice? In the courage of those who use their freedom to fight for the liberation of those who are oppressed, in the truth-telling of those who use their pens to author policy and legislation, creating tough consequences for those who commit crimes against humanity.
The Lord will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
We are the sum of justice. When we are here to be the light of God in the world, when we are here to use our voices to expose systems of oppression and suffering, when we use our collective strength to be bands of love and witnesses for peace, kindness, and good, when we use our wisdom, knowledge, resources, and privilege to advocate for all, no matter gender, race, orientation, or affluence.
The Lord will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Let us gather ourselves so the sums of our bodies, minds, and spirits will speak, so the power of our voices will be a wellspring for love, so the hungry are fed, the naked are clothed, the imprisoned remembered, and the homeless welcomed. So the pounding of our feet will dismantle oppression and create a spirited rumbling for justice in the land."
Let us find justice within ourselves, for this is the prophetic word and wisdom of God.
God is here and comforts the poor, the oppressed, and the brokenhearted. We are here in the midst of the crisis, disaster, and suffering. We are here, present, prayerful, and purposeful amidst God's people. We are here because we are the ones who we have been waiting for.
Amen. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful musical interpretation of Psalm 121. What a gift your music is for us. Would you pray with me? O God, we hunger for your word and thirst for justice in the world, and you bless us in abundance. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, Holy One, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning we have heard an artistic interpretation of a portion of Matthew 25. The Gospel of Matthew is bookended with descriptions of the kingdom and what it looks like for people to know the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 from the Sermon on the Mount calls blessed those who surprise the world with that blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 24 and 25 have prophetic teachings by Jesus that reveal the nature of the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the sheep and the goats begins in Matthew 25, verse 31, with a description of the shepherd sitting on the throne of glory and judging all the nations, not just the church, not just the Christians, but all the nations in this telling come before the Lord on the throne of glory. And then the test is fairly simple. Jesus sits like a shepherd, separating the sheep and the goats in this parable. Well, it seems like it should be pretty easy to tell sheep and goats apart. They're two different animals, though they have similar habits. They graze. Their bleating sounds are about alike. But you know, if you have a goat who's kind of woolly and shaggy, and you have a sheep that has been freshly shorn, and neither one has horns, you might not be sure which is which. If you're driving down the highway out in the country and you see some sheep out in a field in Wyoming, you're pretty sure they're sheep. But every once in a while, there might be a wild mountain goat mixed in. Jesus calls the people from all the nations before him and simply says, "When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison and sick, you visited and comforted me." The words embody simple acts of compassion, of basic human kindness, of one person responding to another in a time of need. For a period of my life, this passage from Matthew 25 was one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. I think it's because at my core, my personal theology teaches me that Jesus calls us to be present with people in need. And as Christians, we're called to embody God's love in the world. So it's not surprising that Matthew 25 would speak to me personally. Perhaps it speaks to you. But I have to admit, when I would read Matthew 25 and think of it and claim it as a text for my own life, I often liked to stop at the end of verse 40. You see, about the first half of this parable, Jesus is talking to those people who responded to him when he was in need. And he tells them, "You will be blessed. Come and inherit the kingdom set aside for you since the beginning of time." Those folks are the sheep. They get to go to the right hand of the throne. I kind of like to just stop the reading there. It's good. It talks about people helping one another. But Jesus isn't done with the parable. He keeps on going. That's when we get the group of folks identified as the goats, sent to the left-hand side of the throne. In the ancient world, the right and left hand often represented good and evil. It lingers a little bit even in our culture. Oftentimes when children are first taught to write, they're placed in their right hand a pen or a pencil or a crayon, and they're taught how to draw letters with that right hand. It's a challenge if you're a naturally left-handed person to try to teach yourself to write with your left hand, because chances are your teacher doesn't know how to do that. It's an odd, lingering cultural phenomenon that there's still a bias for being on the right side of good, we say. We don't want to be left behind. There's still this association of good and bad. In the teaching of Jesus in this parable, it's interesting to note that he speaks the same exact statement to the sheep and to the goats. "When I was hungry, you fed me." To those on the left-hand side, he said, you failed to do that. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. The list is the same. The difference is the response of the people. Some offered help to those in need, and some did not. But it is interesting to read carefully that both the sheep and the goats, the people on the right-hand side and the left-hand side, their response initially is identical. They say to the Lord on the throne, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see you naked or in prison? Neither side realized that it was Jesus who was in need. Perhaps those on the left-hand side really wanted to help the king. If they had known it was Jesus who was thirsty, sure, they would have given him something to drink. If they'd known it was Jesus who was naked, they would have given him the finest robes they could find. They just didn't know. Perhaps part of why reading the second half of that parable makes me uncomfortable is that I know on any given day, I may behave like a sheep, or I may behave like a goat. Perhaps you know what I mean. I think everyone here probably at some time or another, you've known someone who was hungry and you gave them something to eat. Good for you, praise God. In doing so, you actually fed the Lord in the guise of a hungry person. But probably almost every one of us here has also had a time when we didn't quite live up to that potential. Maybe there was someone who wanted you to come by and visit, and you were just a little busy right then. It was inconvenient. And you said, I'll come later. You promised, and later never came. Or perhaps you knew that someone was hungry, but you were busy taking care of your own family, putting food on your own table. You didn't feel that you had enough to spare for a stranger. In those moments, we're like the people on the left-hand side of the throne, unable to see that all people are part of our family. All people belong to God. To be honest, it is rather shocking to think about where Jesus himself is in this story. He's not with the sheep or with the goats. He's with those who are hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison. This parable tells us that if we want to see God, we need to see the suffering of the world because that's where God is. We come to worship because we're confident that God is here. God is in this sanctuary, in this place. God is in the midst of our gathered community when we pray and sing together. But God is also in the world. God is waiting for us out on the street corner with a sign in front, held up saying, looking for work. God is present with that person who really wants to work but can't because of an injury. God is present in the hospital room when the doctor comes to give a patient the diagnosis that the cancer is terminal. God is present in the doctor's voice when it shakes just a little bit. And God is present with the mother sitting there with tears streaming down her face and her heart breaking. And God is present with her son lying in a hospital bed, racked by chemo that's no longer working. And yet it's natural for every person in that hospital room to say, where is God? Why is this happening? Where is the justice, the fairness of this situation? And yet God is in the midst of that. Time and time again, volunteers who travel with the Week of Compassion around the world hear stories where people say, disaster came to my doorstep and you were here. When an earthquake hit in Haiti, the church was there in a prompt and immediate response, trying to give support through grassroots agencies. In Cambodia, there was a grandmother who walked miles to gather water from a well for her family. The well was tainted, the water was impure. The children in the village often suffered from diarrhea and disease because the water was so foul, but it was all they had. Thanks to a week of compassion, a new well was built in that village. Now the grandmother steps yards from her front door and is blessed to be able to fill bucket after bucket with clean, pure water that is safe to drink and use for cooking and cleaning. There's so much water now that she started a small vegetable garden. And the vegetables feed her family, and there's enough to share that she can sell them and have a small income that helps them have a better life. In the last year, 16 villages in Cambodia were blessed with wells and safe drinking water because of the Week of Compassion, and you were there. At Christmas time, the CWF of our congregation gave a gift to Heifer International that brought clean, safe drinking water to three different places in the developing world. You were there. Time and time again, people who are in need see the presence of God through the church, not when we stand up and preach on Sunday morning, but when we show up right next to them in the hardest times of their life. God is there. I'll ask you the same question I've asked the kids this morning. Is there a time you were thirsty? Do you remember what it feels like to be parched? Maybe working in your yard in the summer, working on an oil rig in the heat of Wyoming wind, driving a long distance and forgetting to have water in the car with you, recovering from an illness, being thirsty. There comes a point when you're really thirsty that the best thing to drink is water. When Charles and I go out for a meal at a restaurant, he often orders iced tea, and sometimes I like to try different beverages at home. I drink milk or make lemonade. But when I'm really thirsty, I just want water. It's what your body needs. There is no life on earth without it. This morning, even just thinking about this sermon and going over it again in my mind, I got thirsty. I've been drinking water all morning, just thinking about preaching this message. Do you know what it is like to really be thirsty? Do you know what it is like to give someone a drink when they are thirsty? Every Saturday morning, our sandwich ministry includes a puddle of water in every sack lunch that's handed out at King's Corner. And you are there. Whether you come and volunteer and fill a sack lunch, or show up at King's Corner to help hand out the sandwiches, or put an offering in the plate that supports all the ministries of the church, you are there when people are thirsty. And God is there. God is present both in the person offering the drink of water and in the person who says, "I thirst." An echo of Jesus' words on the cross, "I thirst." Last summer, when I was at the Pecos Abbey in New Mexico for a week of continuing education, I had a small encounter, and it took just a few minutes, but it stuck with me through all this time. I was sitting in an air-conditioned classroom, drawing calligraphy, learning about illuminated manuscripts, and studying scripture with other church folk and artists from across the country. That retreat center is an active monastery where there's a handful of monks who live and work and pray daily. This incident happened on a Wednesday. I remember that specifically because Wednesday is a day of silence at the Abbey. If you're a guest visiting there on retreat, you kind of have to be reminded, on Wednesday, don't be too chatty, because none of the monks are going to answer if you ask a question. I was sitting in class, and I noticed out the window, one of the brothers was working in a flower bed. It was a warm day in the mountains of northern New Mexico. He was wearing his white monk's robe over some work clothes, and I noticed that sweat was forming on his brow as he hoed the flower bed. We took a break in between lectures, and I walked down the hall to the snack room. There was a huge container of ice water with fresh lemon slices in it. I filled up a big cup. And before I took a drink myself, I stepped out the door and walked over to this brother. He saw me coming with a cup of water, and he just looked at me quizzically. I'm sure he thought I was just taking a break from class and enjoying being outside, but I walked straight to him and held out the water. He grinned really big and set down his hoe and took the glass and took one tiny sip and closed his eyes and smiled. And then he downed the rest of the glass and handed it back to me. Not a word was spoken between the two of us. But in that moment, I truly felt I had given Jesus a drink of water. Have you ever given Jesus a drink of water, a loaf of bread, clothes, comfort? Perhaps this week, God will call us to do that. And at least for that moment, we'll be among the sheep at the right hand of the throne of glory. Amen and amen. If there is anyone here this morning who is thirsting for the love of God, we encourage you to ask Jesus to come into your life, into your heart, and to be your Lord and Savior. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome you here by transfer of membership or confession of faith and baptism. You're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together our hymn of dedication, Here Am I, number 654. This hymn is sort of a conversation between God and God's people. God is speaking and describing all the places where he is, and then asks, where are we? Let's stand and sing together. I need to interrupt Diane. We changed the number of the hymn, and you're playing Here I Am, and we're going to sing Here Am I, which is on 654. I sent her an email when the bulletin went to press, and she obviously didn't get it, so. Absolutely. So since you haven't practiced this, we'll let you practice it once and play all the way through before we sing. 654.
Two or three more guys.
downstairs in Fellowship Hall, there is ice water available if you're thirsty, and there is coffee and refreshments to share in a time of fellowship. We hope that you'll come and visit with one another for a few minutes before getting on with your day. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, you are here. You are here in this place, and you are here in our world. Where people suffer and struggle, you are present. And you invite us now to go forth and be where you are. May it be so. Amen.